children can be dismissed, and I would invite the rest of you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I would like to begin there in chapter 3 at verse number 1. Might I say, it is a blessing again to see Aunt Josie. Good to see you, sister. Notice verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to teach us from his word this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the great privilege to share your word. And God, it is my prayer today that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, give us what we need from your word today. Give us understanding of the passage. Lord, help us to understand of the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Lord, help us to grow in the meat of your word. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Christ's holy name, amen. Well, you'll notice here, Paul's continuing his rebuke. And he's being very kind about it. Because you'll notice he refers to them again in verse 1. He said, brethren. He was being very respectful to them. He wanted them to understand, hey, we are brethren in Christ. I know you have trusted Christ. However, you're not living that way. And he continues there. He said, I could not go beyond the milk of the word because you were not spiritually mature enough. So, I had to stay there on the milk or stay on the bottle of milk because you couldn't handle the meat of the word. And the reason for this was, you'll notice, he said in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. And where does he come to this conclusion that he's dealing with carnal believers? Well, he gives the reason here. He said, because some of you are of Paul, some are of Apollos. And what were they doing there? Well, they were coming to their conclusive choices through worldly wisdom. And keep in mind, in chapters 1 and 2, he clearly explained it is not worldly wisdom that matters when you are dealing with the Word of God and the work of God. But that's all they knew because of the Greek philosophers who traveled their way and were continuously had speeches given there in the Colosseum or the theater, or what have you, but they were basing all of their thoughts on man's wisdom, on the eloquence of who was the better speaker. And he goes on to say, well, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He said, listen, we are just the ministers of God. They were just merely the instruments in God's hands that he used to bring them the knowledge of truth. That's all they were. They were the ones God used to bring them the knowledge of truth. And he wanted them to understand, you do not glory in man. We only glory in God. Why? Because God is the one that ultimately does it. He said, listen, some plant, some water, some sow, some water, but God giveth the increase. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And he'll cover that even more as you come down in verses 14 through 18. Where every man, every believer, will be judged before God, not for every single sin we committed. Those sins are forgiven. But we will be judged for the quality in which we lived our Christian lives. And that's the word sort, to see what sort it is. And so he made it clear, hey, listen, Apollos and myself, we're one. We are the ministers of God. We are the ministers of God. This morning as I drove past Mikado Baptist Church, I prayed for their new pastor down there. God, I pray you would bless that pastor, bless their church. God, I pray they'd see souls saved. Oh, well, Brother Kenny, wouldn't you pray that for our church? I pray that every day for our church. But he and I are one. We're both doing the same thing. We are the ministers of God. It's not about the man. It's about our God in whom we serve. So to get a better insight on this, let me take you over for a few moments to Galatians 5. This is where the people of Corinth were extremely lacking. And that was the fruit of the Spirit. Notice Galatians 5. I'll begin there in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes into the fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Notice also it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Affections are meaning the word that we would better know as passions. They have crucified their passions for this world, the lust of this flesh. If in verse 25 he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, for the believer, the opposite of natural weakness is spiritual strength. But it's not our strength. It's not my strength, not your strength. It's God's strength. Hosea 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's that spiritual strength that we need, allowing God to modify our natural weaknesses. into spiritual strengths. And this translates into producing the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching the Galatians there at Galatia. And this is also what those at Corinth needed. And by the way, this is what every church and every believer needs today. The fruit of the Spirit. Well, we have to walk in the Spirit if we're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we've all, at one time or another, perhaps purchased a new car. And when we bought that new car, and a lot of times the dealership will fill it up with a tank of gas, and we drove it home. Now, after that tank of gas runs out, we're not going to go and fill that car up with water. It's not going to work. It's not going to continue. And the truth is, for the believer, we were saved by the Spirit, and we need to remain filled by the Spirit. It's so important that we walk in the Spirit. Since our salvation began with the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, our spiritual lives continue with the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. That's how we continue, in the Spirit of God. We cannot begin with the power of the Holy Spirit and then be perfected in the power of our flesh. It will not happen. It's not going to happen that way. You know, one of the most serious threats in our church today, and in all churches, is the effort of sanctification. It's the effort of sanctification without the power of the Holy Spirit. So many people are striving for sanctification without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we see here in Galatia, and that's exactly what was happening in Corinth. He was dealing with them by the milk of the word, because they were not mature enough to handle the meat of the word. And this is happening to many churches today, because many churches, many pastors, Christian authors, counselors have bought into humanism, psychology. This is where many believers are today. In reality, they're trying to address the spiritual needs, their spiritual needs, are the spiritual needs of the believer in the realms of human psychology, rather than the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And because of this, many believers find themselves strategizing with the world's ideologies. They're strategizing, using the world's ideologies and therapists in hope of accomplishing real spiritual life. Well, you see the command back in verse 16 there. The command, if you go back to verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And the only way to walk in the Spirit is to live in His Word. In fact, Colossians 3:16 tells us, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." It's God's wisdom that we need, not worldly wisdom. You see, the Corinthians were basing all of their conclusive choices on worldly wisdom. Paul wanted them to get it. It's not about worldly wisdom. It's not about that. God's wisdom is different than worldly wisdom. In fact, God tells us that He views man's wisdom as foolishness. This is a vital aspect of our Christian life. It's the lifeline of the Christian life, because it's just not in us to take the right steps on our own. We must have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we must be powered by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're not going to grow. And we're going to be very immature. We're going to stay in diapers. We're going to stay on the bottle. And we're going to be immature Christians, and we're going to look, see, and judge everything we see through the compass of worldly wisdom. And it doesn't work. It will not work. So, King Solomon, we see back over in Proverbs 16 and verse 9, he said, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." It's the Lord who will grow us and direct us. But guess what? In order for that to happen, we have to believe God's word. And in order to believe God's word, we have to read God's word. "That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In fact, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It's not in us. And remember, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. He said, "It's not in me. I don't even have it in the apostolic office to direct my steps. My flesh is so overwhelming. I must have and follow the Spirit of God." The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He said, there's no good in this flesh. I can't find God's will, God's way, in my own strength and power through my flesh. Be cautious of the pop culture psychology that is running so rampant in Christianity today. We don't need that. We simply need the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Holy Spirit powering us, and the Word of God feeding us. And the Lord Jesus confirmed it in Matthew 26 and verse 41. "The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Isn't that great to know that the Spirit of God is always willing? He's always there, always willing to power, always willing to strengthen if we'll just allow for it. However, our flesh is weak. And how did the Lord Jesus defeat flesh and the tempter? Matthew 4 and verse 4. "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now think about that, folks. This is the Lord Jesus being tempted by the enemy, Lucifer himself. And what does he do? He quotes scripture to the devil. He quotes scripture. And if the Lord found it necessary to quote scripture to the devil, we should definitely be doing that. But the only way we can quote scripture back to the devil when he tempts us is if we memorize it. "Thy word hath I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We've got to read the word. We've got to know the word. We've got to memorize the word. Otherwise, we're going to be a sitting duck when Satan comes along trying to influence. So the command is to walk in the Spirit, and the only way to accomplish this is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then in verse 17, we see the conflict. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know, this is a never-ending conflict that will continue in this life until the day we see the Lord, until the day our redemption is made final. Remember, the Christian life is not an arrival. It is a daily pursuit. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything becomes new. Notice the wording there. He said, old things are passed away, but we haven't passed away. Speaking of our flesh, it's still here. My flesh is still here in all its wickedness. It's still here. Well, Brother Kenny, you're the pastor. But you know what, folks? Nobody knows me like my Lord and Savior. He knows my struggles. He knows my trials. He knows everything I deal with in this flesh. And you see, if we are going to feed the Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit. And the only way we can walk in the Spirit is to live in God's Word. He said, old things are passed away. But again, we haven't. We're still here. Pinch yourself right now. You're still here. We haven't passed away. Speaking of our flesh, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now back over to Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now remember, everything the Apostle Paul is going to address with the people of Corinth, he's going to go back to the gospel. That was as far as they got. And he wanted them to understand his mission, his entire philosophy of ministry was Christ and Christ crucified. And we'll see in verse 15, Christ risen from the dead. That was his whole thought and mission and everything. That's what he was about. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Let me ask you this morning, does Christ live within you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time that you believed on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Do you know him? Does he indwell your body? It's the only way we'll get from point A to point B in the Christian life. It begins with our salvation. And once we're saved, keep in mind, we were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. We continue by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we continue. We don't continue through a bottle of pills. And we don't continue through a counseling group talk, a circle of people, everybody sharing their woes and sorrows. Honestly, I can't think of anything that's a greater waste of time. Especially for the believer. We don't need that. I understand. There are times when people truly need help. I'm not discounting that. I fully understand that. But there are times when Christians reach out for help from a secular world or a worldly ideal system, and they buy into that, and they live their lives that way. And somehow, some way, it has crept into the church. And now we see in our day and time where many believers feel that they can't live the Christian life if they don't have their bottle of pills. Paul said, I have crucified the old man, but my new man is alive. It's not me, but Christ that lives in me. You know, we have to understand, there's no human solution for our spiritual needs. I'll say it again. There is no human solution for our spiritual needs. We cannot soothe the aching spirit with the world's remedies. It will not work. Oh, it may give you a satisfaction for a while, but ultimately, it'll fail you. It will fail you. The Spirit of God and the Word of God dwelling in us is what will help us. Then the control in verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. In other words, you are no longer under the dispensation of the law in bondage. You are now under the dispensation of grace in the freedom of Christ. You picture a man trying to pull a train in his own power. Well, the truth is, a man can't pull a train, two engines and 42 boxcars. He doesn't have the power to pull that train. And you know what? He can't do it in and of himself, and that is the believer trying to humanly power his spiritual life. It doesn't work. But then, when you remove the man and you add a locomotive engine called the Holy Spirit, add another locomotive engine called the Word of God, and that's a picture of the Holy Spirit's power through the Word of God. You know, every problem we face comes from the flesh, and every solution we face comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, not human reasoning. We can't fix our problems. Sure, there's things we can do to help ourselves physically. There are things we can do. We should exercise and we should eat right. And I'm preaching, of course, to myself. It's easier said than done, we know, but that's the truth. All of our health physically truly lies within our diet. I know as an asthmatic, I've had asthma for years. And I have learned the things that will cause an asthma attack. And one of the number one things that will cause an asthma attack is something I love. Sugar. Sweets. An overindulgence in sweets. Everything should be done in moderation. There are things we can do to help ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, and what argument hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, it's an amazing thought, truly an amazing thought, that the very God of heaven lives within us today, moving and leading. All we have to do is simply respond one step at a time. Don't set your expectations too high. If you're like me, you are your biggest enemy. I have no enemy like myself. And that's because a lot of times I set expectations above my ability in Christ. And you've done the same thing. We are our greatest enemy apart from the devil. Listen, our natural temperament is the default setting for our flesh. That is the default setting. Now, most everything I do in sermon preparation, I use Word. And I have a pretty good handle on Microsoft 365 Word. Now, I don't have a very good handle on Excel. That's Brother Kenny. But I do understand Word. And as much as I know the Word program, and I type, and I just pick one key at a time. Pretty fast, though. I can do it pretty fast. Not bragging, but I can. And that's because I was kicked out of typing class years ago with a bunch of other guys. And every time I type a sermon, I think of the hard time we gave our typing teacher. Amen? And you know, with Word, as much as I have learned about that program, and it is a great help. But you know, sometimes Word wants to think for you. And it wants to do things that you're not asking it to do. And sometimes that's helpful, like spell check. But there's a certain part up in the taskbar of Word. It likes to set its own parameters for indentions. It likes to set its own parameters for line spacing. And as long as I've used Word, I cannot get Word to stop doing my line spacing. I type in single type, another one sentence after another, and then when I have a break, I can show you, I like one space. I bring everything over to the middle of the page. Why? Because it's right here on this side, and I'm not having to do this long line while I'm going through my sermon. But it likes to do that for me. I wish they would stop that. I've tried and tried to figure out how to stop that. But I have miserably failed. And you know, many times what we refer to that as is the default setting. It goes back to default. You know, that's exactly what our flesh does. Please hear me. Our flesh, in its default setting, is the natural man. He always wants to go back to the natural man. There is a bent aspect in man that is bent toward going back to the natural man. We've all had cars in the past that were out of alignment. Take your hand off and it goes to the right or it goes to the left. And we can correct it or just let it keep going to the right. We'll wind up in a ditch. And the car's trying to drive itself. But you know what? We oftentimes allow for that in our spiritual lives. We allow for that by going back to that default setting. Listen, our natural man, our natural temperament is the default setting of the flesh. It's always trying to revert back to what it knows best. And once we revert back, it automatically takes control of us, and the only outcome is to be defeated. So we constantly have to check our control settings and make sure we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then our natural man and natural temperaments will be modified for God's glory and for our good. Understand something. God is not our enemy. God is pulling for you and me today. He wants to help us. So we see the command, the conflict, and the control of the Spirit. The command is to walk in the Spirit. The conflict of the issue is the flesh of man. And the control of the Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God, living in the Word of God. And we see at that point the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And we also see, notice the contrast. a list of deeds pertaining to the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. First, he gives the deeds of lust. Notice verse 19, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, are made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This would involve any sexual sin, pornography, adultery, fornication, and impure thought life, or filthiness of mind and uncleanness. And the humanistic therapist or psychologist, you go to them about one of those issues, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take you back to your childhood. And they're going to say, well, let's go back to when you're 5, 6 years old. How's life? What happened? And the truth is, anybody in this room could say, speak of something that happened to them as a child that was unjust. Right? We could all do that. But that's the therapist's goal. Well, here's why you are mentally messed up, because this happened to you when you were a child. But understand something. It's not what happened to us. It's what we are. We are flesh. And it is the flesh. That's the reason we go back. Then we see Galatians 5:19 again. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. But Paul doesn't blame our past at any point. Paul knew where the people of Corinth came from. He knew of their idolatry. He knew of all of their pagan worship. He knew of all their sexual sins. He knew all of that. But he never points back and says, well, you know, here's why you're struggling. Because here's where you came from. Some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood. We've all have issues in our past. But that's not why we are the sinners we are. We are the sinners we are because of our flesh. We need to stop blaming. I'm not a fan of the devil. I hate him. But all too often, like little Johnny, well, the devil made me do it. I've said this before, I'll say it again. You don't need the devil to sin. We are fully capable of sinning right on our own. Verse 20 said, which are idolatry, witchcraft. Idolatry is worshiping anything other than the true God. Now, what were they doing in Corinth? Some were for the Apostle Paul. Some were for Apollos. They had their preference. And some people worship false gods. Some people worship themselves. Some people worship their money, their career, their prestige, their house, their car. It can be anything that takes the place of God. And the word witchcraft there comes from the Greek word pharmakeia. It's where we get the word pharmacy. And it means drugs. And that was the common medium in magic, sorcery, and witchcraft at the time. You know what? It still is. Drugs. It's still the central force of the world's fix for our problems. And I'm not against medicine. Thank God we have medicines. We also see the deeds of sinful relations in verses 20 and 21. And I'll hurry. Hatred or hostility, variance, quarreling, and debating. This is exactly what they were doing in Corinth. Emulations or jealousy, wrath, fierce indignation, strife, which is fighting. They were a strifeful people. Seditions or disunion and divisions. He goes on to say heresies, which is also a continuance of disunion. Envyings, ill will, and the inability to get along with others. He goes on to say murders, drunkenness, revelings are a loose lifestyle. and such like of the which I tell you before. So the deeds of the flesh are lust, self-effort in faith, and bad relationships, and not just relationships with people. This is what the flesh produces, and I'll tell you this, you'll find everybody's problem right here in this passage. Any and every problem we face, you'll find man's problem right here in this passage. If you have bitterness, hate, and conflict in your home, conflict in your marriage, you don't get along with your spouse, you don't get along with your parents, you can't get along with others, if you have a problem with authority. Or maybe you battle with jealousy toward others and you envy, or you feel unfulfilled. You feel like you deserve more, or you have a bad temper, and you can outburst at any moment. Maybe it's drinking or drugs, or maybe it's gossiping or being opinionated, just full of negativity. Listen, if you envy other people, if you're discontent, unhappy, you look at what other people have and what you don't have. Listen, you can put it all right here in our life in this passage. It all goes back to one thing, the flesh of man. And listen, if this is what the flesh produces, then how do we overcome it? If that is our default setting, what should we do to overcome it? You'll have to come back for the 2 o'clock service to find out how you'll overcome it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you would help us to realize our default setting is to always go back to the flesh.